On this episode of Black and Abdallah After Hours, we talk with David Kaplan from ESPN Chicago. He's the morning show host from 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000. We talk to him about the Bears. Are they the sexy team this upcoming season in the NFL? We also ask him about Caleb Williams and Justin Fields and what the Bears should do with the 9th pick overall in the NFL draft. Make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. You could also listen to this audio on the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Our conversation with David Kaplan is coming up next. Okay, Cap, let's get into it. The Chicago Bears. It seems like all of the conversation lately is obviously that Caleb Williams is going to be the number one pick. At the moment, are you cool with that's the direction that the Bears are heading in, that Caleb Williams is the hands down number one guy?
First of all, it is so cool to be on with you two guys. So thank you for having me. It is an honor. I'm like, Black and Abdallah. Yeah, in. Let's go. Yes. So that's number one. Number two, it better freaking be Caleb Williams. I better not hear some curveball on April 25th. No, it's Caleb Williams. He is the guy. And I think that this thing is going to be a rocket ship. I really do.
I listen to Cap and J Hood every morning, and I keep hearing over the last few weeks, you've been saying that the city isn't ready for what is about to hit them when Caleb Williams gets here. I kind of disagree with you, and I'm not like saying what you're saying is a hot take or anything like that. I think we're very ready. I think we've been more ready for anything than to get a real quarterback in this city finally, and hopefully he turns out to be just that.
Okay, so what I've said was, I don't think this city realizes is what's about to hit them, is what I've said. Yes, I agree with you 1,000%. They are absolutely, we're all ready for it. But like, my neighbors, I've watched games with them. My neighbors on either side of me here, my neighbors, I was outside bringing the garbage in, and they're like, this kid from USC, is he really that good? I'm like, yeah. Because that dude over there, he's a financial guy. That dude over there works for MasterCard. They're not like us that are locked in fighting the Justin Fields cult off for the last 6 months. They're just not. So they've heard the name Caleb. Is he really that good? Is he another Mitch Trubisky? No. This guy is legit, man. And yes, this city, what's that light coming? It's a freaking freight train. It's going to be the Bears. They're coming, I'm telling you.
Gabby, are you surprised that there are that many people in town that are unaware of what Caleb Williams brings to the table and maybe still so supportive over Justin Fields? Like, I tend to think that our city is pretty smart when it comes to sports and that we watch the games and we're aware of what's taking place. I'm taken aback based on the conversations that were had in the last couple months that people were so diehard, Fields is my guy, they can't assume or think that anyone could be better in the future. I was really shocked by all of that discourse that took place over the winter.
I was, it's well said. We disagreed, and I think maybe you guys have come around that I was right. I have never seen a more divisive topic in Chicago sports. Jay Cutler, he's okay. He was 52-52 career. A little divisive, but not crazy. Derrick Rose, got a little crazy. This one? Oh, my God. I got accused, along with Danny Parkins, that we're the reason that there's violence in the city because we're not supporting Justin Fields. Look, Justin's a great kid. He was a great leader, good athlete, fun to watch at times. He wasn't a good enough quarterback, and we're chasing greatness. So am I surprised that more people aren't aware? I think the people in our inner circle or in our universe, the, you know, us, people that do this for a living, our teammates, they know. But the financial guy over there who watches one game a week because his wife doesn't want him watching football every day, he doesn't have a real clue what's coming.
Well, let's be real. The divisiveness of this city between you and Parkins, that is true. Just it doesn't have anything to do with Justin Fields.
Yeah, that's just you guys.
No, it was through no fault of Justin.
It's radio wars. That's what that is.
No, I only push back, Cap, because I think that we do live in a different time now where the examples that I thought of with Cutler, with Derrick Rose, we didn't have, you know, all of the Twitter people that we do now. Like we lived in a vacuum where the only way for people to get a hold of you was during your 3 to 4 hour radio show.
Correct.
And if you wanted to call and talk about, you know, Jay Cutler and talk to Waddle and Sylvie about Jay Cutler, you had to call them between the hours of 2 and 6 or else you couldn't get a hold of them. Now, every time, you know, you open Twitter, it's mention after mention after mention. You can't escape it. So I think that if we would have had that kind of stuff around, you know, Derrick Rose and around Jay Cutler, they might have been the same. It's just that we didn't have the different, you know, avenues of communicating and getting in touch with you the way fans do now.
Yeah, maybe. But I was stunned, like to Chris's question earlier, by the number of people who claim to know football, claim to be football fans, that they were okay with mediocrity. Like, flashes. Yeah, he had a good run there. That was cool. Oh, that was a cool pass. But there were a lot of plays where you went, it's just not getting it done. That's what surprised me. The number of people that, oh my God, we can't give up on Justin now. Yeah, we can. Absolutely.
And I think fast forwarding in Cap, kind of what you and Adam were talking about, this idea that people don't know what is going to hit us. I do think that there is truth to that because I don't think they realize that if you have a capable quarterback who can pass from the pocket, this might turn to 10 to 11 wins very quickly. And they might be in the mix to actually compete sooner than, say, people assume with a rebuilding team, with a rookie quarterback. Like, I think that's the thing where you're right. I don't think people realize how this could be different with a quarterback who can play from the pocket and pass from the pocket.
Yeah, because we've never seen it, you know? We draft Jim Harbaugh like 27th. We sign Eric Kramer away from the Lions. We get Steve Walsh. We get Rex Grossman, Cade McNown. Never have we had a guy like this. Even Mitch, who went second, and I supported him. Never was he this guy. This dude coming in? Oh, man. Just put the tape on. He's amazing. And then I don't know if you guys saw today, Josh Schrock from NBC Sports Chicago got a chance to do some homework. I don't know if he got it from Poles or not, but he reported that Ryan Poles and his staff went to the USC game at Notre Dame and actually were impressed how Caleb Williams handled things in the face of adversity. And they said that to them, Notre Dame ran a defensive scheme they had never used because they specifically had a game plan to stop that guy. And they left there more impressed than people who are denigrating it like Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, now we're into, you know, like prediction season because essentially we know what the Bears are going to be. We know what the roster is going to look like besides, and we assume Caleb Williams is going to be on there. We don't know what they're going to do at 9, but they're going to either take a player, maybe trade back a couple spots. So the number's set at 8.5 in a few places. And even guys like Kirk Herbstreit yesterday came out and said, watch out, the Bears are going to be just like the Lions were. That's what I thought they were going to be last year. I thought that they added enough to, you know, be that team to watch out for. And then this year they would be the, hey, the Bears are here. The Bears have arrived.
The now, sexy team.
Yeah. Now we're getting to where this year they're the sexy team. Watch out for the Bears. They could be this year's Lions. Do you see similarities between, because I know you are a huge Dan Campbell fan. You're not like a fan of the Lions, but you know, you like Dan Campbell and what he's done to that team and what the Lions represent. Is it kind of going to that place now where they've got a solid defense? They were top 10 defense towards the end of the year. They've got weapons on offense now. They're fixing the offensive line. They've got the quarterback presumably coming in that if Caleb can be the guy, that this could be a team that can be talked about the way the Lions were a couple years ago.
Yeah, I really believe that because, look, I think Jared Goff's a good football player. I don't think he's, oh my God, a great football player. They have a good team. They have a great offensive line. They really do. They've got a good receiving core. I like their team. I think this Bears team, once Caleb settles in and gets his feet under him, wow, I mean, what are we doing at nine? Are they getting Roma Dunze? Are they getting Malik Nabers? Is Marvin Harrison going to be on the board? Is Joe Alt? Oh, my God. Can you imagine having Joe Alt and Darnell Wright as your bookend tackles, kick Braxton Jones inside? Now you're looking at one of the better offensive lines potentially in the National Football League. So, yeah, Detroit is more seasoned. They're going to come in hungry because of what happened in the NFC title game. But I don't think the Bears are far behind. I don't.
I'm guessing a lot of people think that your assessment of the offensive line, and if you use that pick on someone like Joe Alt, like, it makes a lot of sense. I can't argue your opinion there. But I would imagine most of the fan base would like the Bears to use that pick on a wide receiver.
If you go back to when Jim Finks, the late Jim Finks, was hired away by Papa Bear Halas to rebuild an awful Bears team, he took Ted Albrecht out of Cal. He took Dennis Lick, I think, out of Wisconsin. He took Jimbo Covert. He got Mark Bortz. He took Keith Van Horn in the top 10. Like, he just kept stockpiling great offensive linemen. Then he grabbed Tom Thayer, our teammate. He got Jay Hilgenberg, and all of a sudden he went, another offensive lineman? And I remember talking to him, and he said, you build a football team. You want your offense to be good? Give him the best offensive line in the game. And that's why he did that. If Joe Alt is this perennial all-pro, Joe Thomas-style guy, and he's on the board for me, I'm taking him. 100%. Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be there. Like, I think you either. Look at the way the draft shakes out. Like, if he's there, absolutely, you take him. But I think you're more likely to get a Roma Dunze, a Dallas Turner, a Jared Verse. If I'm Ryan Poles, though, and I think you and I, this is weird. You and I are agreeing a lot these days. And I don't know if it's, like, it's healthy for us and, like, for the teammates and everything like that.
Is it?
Like,
it's more fun when we're all mixing it up.
It feels weird for it to have us agree this much. I would like them to take a player rather than trade back. I think that adding a top 10.
Oh, I don't want to trade back at all.
Yeah, now, I think that if you can add Roma Dunze or Verse or Turner, to me, you do that.
If there is a star-level, Roquan Smith-level player, they got him at 8, and this year we're picking 9. If you told me, wow, stunning, the Bears got Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels went and only 2 quarterbacks went in the top 10. There was a run on the 3 receivers and Joe Alt and this guy, that cornerback out of Alabama, and all these guys went, and all of a sudden I got somebody offering me this insane deal because they got to get J.J. McCarthy or Drake May, I would listen. But I think 4 quarterbacks are gone before the Bears pick, which means I'm going to have a really good football player on the board, and I'm taking him.
Cap, what do you make of some of the opinions out there suggesting that because Matt Eberflus is, quote, a lame duck head coach, he has yet to get a contract extension, it's final year of a deal. Is this an issue for Caleb Williams and for this team hanging into this offseason and into training camp that Eberflus doesn't necessarily have a guaranteed future with the Bears? Do you think that's a problem?
I don't. He has 2 years left on his deal, doesn't he?
Oh, does he?
I think he has.
So why do hot takers keep saying that he's a lame duck head coach?
I think it's because if they struggle, he's out.
Yeah.
Well, that's different than not having a contract.
Correct.
I thought he had 2 years left because this was his second year.
Yeah.
What does lame duck mean? I thought lame duck means you don't have a contract.
You wouldn't give a new head coach.
You're correct. Lame duck means you're in the final year of your deal.
Yeah.
Right.
You're
like
correct.
Being bad is different than a lame duck. Being a bad coach.
I'm looking it up while I'm talking to you guys.
I'm pretty certain it's
I'm pretty sure he signed a 4-year deal.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are opinionists out there saying lame duck, but he's
under contract through 2025.
Okay.
Okay. So bad. He's just a bad coach. They're worried that Eberflus is not a good head coach. So then in his first year, he'll be fired, and then the Bears are kind of starting this whole process over again. What do you think of people who are, like, worried about that, even though we haven't seen who they've drafted to this point?
So I understand where they're coming from, because what did the Bears do? They went out and drafted Mitchell Trubisky, gave him John Fox, the golden parachute man, for 1 year. Now let's go get Matt Nagy. Then they draft Justin Fields, and a year later fire Matt Nagy. What, are we going to do it again? Those who fail to acknowledge history are doomed to repeat it. But the people that I trust up there, like, I'm telling you, they love this coach. The players do. I've asked Ryan Poles with no microphone around. He said, dude, this guy showed up. We had lost 14 straight games, and every day he was like a rock in there. Hey, man, we're just going to keep working hard. We're going to try and break the big rocks and the little rocks, and we're going to keep pounding at it. He said, and it really, really calmed the locker room. So maybe, wouldn't it be stunning if they go out next year, they go like 11-6, maybe win a playoff game, and he gets a long-term contract extension?
Well, see,
I wouldn't be surprised about that.
I don't even think they need to make the playoffs. Like, I don't think it's playoffs or bust. I think that's the goal, obviously. But no. Like, look at it this way, okay? Just look at the win totals. And I know you guys have talked about it. We've talked about it. If the Lions get to 11 wins and the Packers get to 10 wins and the Bears are in that last weekend, they have to win. And let's say the Rams have to lose for them to get in the playoffs. They win. The Rams also win. So they miss out on the playoffs by like that half game or game, whatever. And it's not a horrible season. Caleb's played well. The defense has played well. You still
He's going nowhere then.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're not – I think it's more likely that at the end of the season, you're giving Matt Eberflus an extension to line him up with Caleb Williams' contract and with Ryan Poles' contract at that point, and you're giving both guys extensions to line everybody up to make sure they're on the same track.
I completely agree. Now, if they go out and they go 5-12 and they just look awful, he's out.
Of course, then he's out. Then he's out. But it's not playoffs or bust.
But they go 9-8 – and wow, that quarterback's coming, man. He's going nowhere.
Agreed. Again, we agree.
Yeah. It's amazing how much agreement is taking place.
Go get a pizza and maybe split a thing of gummies.
Yeah.
Cap, you are our first guest here on Black and Abdallah After Hours. We appreciate you coming on, spending some time with us. Thank you for doing this for us today.
Thank you for asking me. It's an honor. Anytime you want me, I am around. Just call. I would be honored to be on with you two.
Thanks, you, Cap.
Take that.